I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's absolute tosh. It's rubbish.
You're so BBC all the time. You're like, that's tosh. I'm like, it's fucking bollocks. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson's Secret 2. This week, I'm joined by everybody's favourite newsreader, star of stage and screen, and Strictly champ, it's Ore Dua.
Hello, girl. I haven't read the news in a very long time. I don't even think I can read these days. It's just been a very long time. I can't even read. How terrible is that? My son's trying to do it. I can't even teach him.
I bet you've still got it. Show him. Have you got any papers nearby? Because I'd love to see you shuffle. I'd love to see you shuffling the papers for old times.
You know what? Well, the very first time I met Vicky, she was always like, do you know, you shuffle those papers like no one else I've ever seen before. You're talking about the right guy. I genuinely always say to myself, I really should read more newspapers because I always feel so uninformed about the world. Like, I never want to be one of those people that get vox popped on the street about things like Brexit and stuff and they go, oh, where did you get your news? Facebook? YouTube?
Honestly.
Do you know what I mean?
But then I feel like we all absorb so much content these days from so many different places.
Yes.
And yeah, God, I wish I was one of those pricks who sat over my fucking matcha latte or whatever and read the Times, but I'm not. I go straight on Instagram. And if it's not Kim Kardashian, I don't know what's happened. That is who I am and I'm unapologetic.
No, you're right. It is. It's natural. First thing you do when you get up is Insta. And actually, I try to limit because personally, I find Instagram, for me, very distracting, like to the day, for my productivity. It is such an amazing resource, but because I'm quite an addictive person, it's like, well, I've kind of stripped away a lot of things. I don't really have many hobbies. I'm really bloody boring.
Unfortunately, I'm going to think this is a byproduct of fatherhood.
Well, no, that, I mean, I was definitely boring before Roman came along. But if I get on something, I obsess about it. And so if I stay on Instagram too long, I will be there until 5 p.m. and I woke up at 7. So,
But I don't think you're alone in that. Like, I think that's a complete, like, that's totally normal. Like, I know I will sometimes stay on Instagram until I feel bad about myself. That's my bad habit. Terrible.
So I imagine that 90% of people do that. And it only comes to that point where you go, oh my God, I've been in so long. Now I kind of feel like, what have I done with my day? But all I've done is see what everyone else is doing. And not for me, I haven't done anything for me. I haven't done anything positive for me or reaffirming for me. So it's kind of a dangerous place because it is. It's a black hole. It's such an amazing, you can literally be on explore and you can scroll until the end of time. Then you go, hold on, none of that has come back to me. So it's dangerous. I mean, don't get me wrong, unless you're on Vicky Patterson's page where you could scroll for life and you are always getting good vibes back. Just be
nothing
careful.
Nothing but realness.
Realness,
on
girl.
VP's
you're
page.
So good. The girl looks great in a sari, I'll tell you that.
What about in my PJs? Do you like me in my PJs?
I like you any which way you come, darling.
Anyway. Oh, Ore, I love you. I wanted to ask you so many questions. I've got like the longest list, but I'm going to start at the top because I feel like it's probably a very good place to start.
Go on then, start top to bottom. I'm ready.
So last week on the podcast, I had Ulrika Johnson, and I got like in, I fangirled her so hard because I forgot how many amazing shows she did that I absolutely loved. Yeah. Like, you know, those Gladiators, those Shooting Stars, those everything. But you yourself are also part of one of my all-time favourite shows as a child.
Where are you going?
Newsround. Like, no word of a lie, Ori. Like, when I would come home from school, it would be boom, Newsround, boom, Baker Grove, turkey dinosaurs, and then fucking bath in bed. And it was a blinding Wednesday night.
If only as a kid it was literally that clockwork. Yes, Newsround. Yes, Baker Grove. What's that? You want me to go bath in bed? Absolutely. Thanks to... I'm all right, Mum.
You mean Roman doesn't... You mean he doesn't love his schedule?
I don't know. Not that to plan. but no, that's right. Do you know what? Newsround's been going 50 years this year.
Stop it.
50. 50 years.
Are you doing anything special for the big anniversary?
Haven't been invited if they are.
That's a real punch in the dick.
It's okay. It's okay. I'll wave the flag even if I'm not at the party. Yeah, that was... do you know what? I started presenting Newsround 2 weeks after graduating university. I was 22, I think. And I was like...
You're a bubba.
How the hell have I done this? It was mad. It was so mad. I was at university in Loughborough in the Midlands. And I wanted to get into telly, and I'd spent the 3 years that I was there, like, doing lots of student media stuff, telly and radio and magazine. And it got to the summer before my final year. And I remember going to, there's a TV festival in Edinburgh. There's a networking festival called The Network. And I managed to get on there and basically met a load of TV people. One of them happened to be really high up at Children's BBC. So I got in touch with him, got chatting away. As you do, that's the whole point. Rub shoulders with the people that might give you a job one day. And then I remember going to Television Centre at the BBC. Like, he was like, you need to get a show reel because when the time comes, you'll need to be able to show your work. And then I didn't know that Newsround were having a bit of a reshuffle. A couple of months later, he asked me for my show reel. It was ready, handed it over, got a screen test, got a job.
Smashed it.
Mental. For my mum, she was like, oh, well, at least he's not just farting about on the sofa for the summer. So that's good. Because my parents didn't really know anything as to, like, my extracurricular stuff. It was all about education for them. So they were like, TV? What? My dad didn't even believe me. Genuinely did not believe me. For about 2 months, he didn't believe that I was... presenting at the BBC because he lives in Nigeria, and in Nigeria, like, the BBC is such a huge institution. You know, my dad's a barrister. He's done pretty darn well for himself, one of the top barristers in the country. And so for me to be working for them,
big shoes to fill, that's a lot of pressure.
Big shoes. And eventually when the contract came through and he saw those letters at the top of the paperwork, he went mental, and they're very proud.
Oh, I love that. So hang on, I didn't really realise that your family was like that, and your dad was in such a professional space. Did he have aspirations for you to be something else, perhaps, beforehand?
Do you know what? I've never actually sat down and asked him, what did you expect of me? And I think if I had, he probably would have just said, I want you to work hard and make something of yourself. I don't think it came down to one thing. In my childhood head, I always thought he wanted me to do something like that, so I was going to be a doctor. As far as I was concerned, even though...
You'd make a lovely doctor,
well,
you know.
Well, thank you. Love you for that. I've got a caring streak to me, but the actual practice of medicine might have been my fall.
Oh.
You know.
As in, are you squeamish about blood and guts and
stuff? I mean,
stuff?
That's not my favourite thing. Like, but also, I'm not real. I was never really good at biology. So that was probably a bit of a stumbling block.
But you've got you'd have a lovely bedside manner. I wouldn't mind if you weren't that good at the rest of the stuff.
You would if you were 6 feet under, Vic. You would.
I imagine I'd be smiling down going, oh, but wasn't he nice?
Lovely bedside manner.
Such a nice man. And did you see his hands? Lovely hands.
Moisturises every day. Yeah, it's the kind of doctor you want. Does he know anything about medicine? Do you know what? I don't think he does, but that's fine.
Did he fuck? Okay, so you got your first job at the BBC, smashing it on Newsround. Like, how does it feel to be part of such an iconic age of television? Because, like, that to me, I mean, I'm going, I'm Gladiators, I'm going. We were just talking about me and my producer, like, your beer watches, yeah.
Yeah.
Knight Rider, everything, like, it was all part of it. The 90s was fucking huge. Do you love being part of such an iconic age of television?
It was just being at Television Centre, because I started in 2008, and the Olympics were in Beijing, and everyone was building up to London 2012. And I just remember, like,
that must have been a really exciting time.
And it just, everywhere you look, because, you know, it was going to be one of the biggest moments in the country's history. So everything was, and the BBC was the host broadcaster, so they were really building up to it. And it was just, it was pretty tingly to be there. You know, I'd sat there like you watching shows like Live and Kicking and yes. Children in Need and just seeing that iconic building, you know, when they do the exterior shot and it's always zooming in around BBC Television Centre. And I always said, I always felt like Charlie Bucket from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you know, like face pressed up against the fence. Oh, I wonder what happens in there. That factory of television. Maybe one day I'll get in and have a mouthful of chocolate. And so actually to be inside genuinely felt like I'd won the lottery.
Never mind Charlie, like once you got inside those doors, you were like fucking Augustus Gloop. You were like, I'll have this show and this show and give me all the shows. Yes, I'll do Strictly. Yes, I'll do Your News. I'm fucking having it all.
That is more true than you know. Because this kid used to look exactly like Augustus Gloop. I was a big boy. Big boy.
I was so chubby too, Ori.
Oh, yeah. Can't believe it.
Yeah, so honestly, and like this is something so controversial, and I don't know if we'll even keep this in because she's hungover and probably isn't thinking exactly right. Yeah. But let me pass you over my theory. I had this huge chubby stage, and I had bad skin, and I didn't have great teeth. Like I just had all of those like hang-ups
just
that
those
normal
things,
like
those
yeah. When you're
puberty,
in that ugly duckling phase,
early teenagers, been there, sister.
But then I feel like that forced me to cultivate other things in order to make myself like attractive to others, you know, like be self-deprecating, be funny, be kind, be polite, be respect, all these things. And when I was busy cultivating them and like all these really good looking people didn't bother, you know, then I grew up and I got boobs and I grew into my nose nice. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, she's all right to look at and she's quite nice. So I feel like when you've had a bit of an ugly duckling stage, it forces you to have other things. And then when you grow up and you get all your things in the right place, you're just a nice, well-rounded person.
Hey, you have always been a beautiful butterfly. But I would definitely concur with the idea that, because I was never like the most popular, I was never the coolest, I was never the one with, I literally, Portia was my first girlfriend.
Oh no, I Let's can't deal with way. You and her though. Let's put, yous are too fucking cute.
And I love you, genuinely, when we first like got to chatting, you and me, and you're always so lovely about me and Portia, so, you know that there is love from the two of us to you. Forever, till the end of time. I definitely think that because of that, when you're not, you know, it's almost like being like, not quite, but like on a social scale, it's almost like being in charge, like being the head boy, because you've got a lot of responsibility. If you're cool, if you're like the number one, or if, you know, lots of people or kids and everything congregate around you, there is probably a lot of responsibility. And also maybe it comes to your head a little bit. But whereas if you have a lot of other things that you are acquiring, you know, you're like, look, I want to be a great sport. I want to do lots of theatre. And I'm not really bothered about, like, the cliques and the playground and, you know, thinking, who am I going to snog at the party that weekend? Because I'll tell you, it was going to be no one anyway. So why bother trying? I genuinely do think you do start growing up earlier because you're like, well, there's other things I have to probably get my teeth into. And I think it
you
kind
start
of
having like
well.
Life,
yeah.
Though, don't you
start enjoying your life. You start looking around because at that age, it's very easy to get fixated on the stuff that doesn't matter. And I think goes further on as the rest of your life. But you know, who's the one that got the most snogs at the whole school dance? Oh my God, is that bothered? Or who got the most roses on Valentine's Day? Doesn't matter. But at that stage, you're like, oh my God, I only got one, or I didn't get any, oh my God, my world's over.
But, and you know what the modern day equivalent of that is, like the stage we're now, it's who got the most likes on Instagram. Yeah. Like that's how it's transpired in a way. And I totally get it. Like the roses weren't important in the same way the likes aren't. Like, what's important is, like, how the people who mean something to you, how they see you, like, what you're achieving in life, what you're doing. Are you happy? Yeah. Like, do you wake up every morning with a smile on your face? Like, it's so, I think, given I'm a little bit older than I was at the Valentine's disco days, you know, like, I can see it more clearly and see Instagram, see the roses for what they are, which is, like, a nice compliment, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect us.
Nah.
But back then, didn't it feel like the end of the world?
It really did. And I, you know, I think that's definitely one of the things that I'll have in my mind when my kids grow up, is because it's such a minefield. You know, it is literally an assault course every day trying to be a kid and go through those kind of teenage years and you know, cool kids and then add in the social media side of things.
Yeah.
It's definitely one thing I'll just keep an eye on. Don't get me wrong, like, him getting the idea of girlfriends and partying and going out.
Are you already dreading that?
We've already established that Portia will be the, hey, do what you fancy, whatever. Go have a smoke. Feel free. Have, like, go live your life. And I'll be like, you, come here. Right. Smokes. Right. That's you, grounded for a week, minimum. Pocket money, not having it.
Gone.
Girlfriend, God. I need to give her the once over. Have a look at her. Who's she? Does she have a decent family? It's going to be all of that. But hey, good cop, bad cop. You need to have one of each.
We honestly, we have got good cop, bad cop in our house already, just with the dog.
Yes, like, you do.
I am like fun mummy. I am like, oh, it's only a little bit of wee. It's fine. We'll get the carpet cleaned.
How much is a little bit of wee?
Oh my God, he's a fucking Labrador. There's never a little bit of wee or a. Never. But I think that will definitely, God, if me and her can do it together, do have kids, all the rest of the lovely things that you and Portia are doing now, I will 110% not be able to do the disciplining thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it, man. I just am such a fucking people pleaser, man. Can you imagine? I'll be like, yeah, try that. What, intravenous drugs? That's really cool. Like, I can't be there. No. And what a hypocrite I would be as well. Like, don't drink, don't smoke, don't kiss boys. Like, all right, mom, yours is on the fucking telly for all us to see.
It's fair, it's fair. I think you are allowed to be a hypocrite, though, when you're older, because, you know, I think with so many things, and it's very easy to get fixated on how you were once and be like, oh, well, that's just what I do. But I think generally with life, you always have to be open to changing. You know, you're going to meet different people. You're going to lose people that you thought were really important to you along the way.
Yeah.
And as you go, you're always going to develop. And I think it's important to go, do you know what? That was the time. It was don't get me wrong. It's me. I ain't preaching at all. You are going to be you. And that's why we freaking love you for it. But it's just something that I'm always aware of, because I think, you know, you do make mistakes and you're allowed to learn from them, and you're allowed to preach from that position of, do you know what? Yeah. I did that wrong. So don't hold me to that, because I know that this is how I want to do things going forward. But I think you're allowed to grow and change and not be like, oh, that was the person that I am. Or that's always how I'm going to be, like, blinking in that. This is how it always will be, because you're always going to change. The person that you are at 50 ain't the person you are at 25, even though you'll feel 18. You know?
No, honestly, I say this all the time and I totally agree with you. Like, you were under no obligation to be the person you were like 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 5 weeks ago, 5 days ago, even 5 minutes ago. People change, they grow, they evolve, they become better people. Hopefully that's the whole goal, isn't it, as we get older. But I often think, like, bad chapters and stuff, because we've all got them. We've all got ones that we don't necessarily want to read aloud.
Sure.
Like, they are just chapters. They don't have to be a life sentence. They don't have to define where. And I think when you're someone like I am, who has quite a few grays, me, just a couple, like, it's so lovely to be able to, like, to grow and change and all the rest of it. But, you know, there's always that one cunt on Instagram who can't wait to fucking remind me, like, oh, I find it really funny that you're preaching body positivity when you had a fitness DVD, or I think it's really funny you're telling everyone to be nice when you used to shout and swear on TV. And I think, honestly, mate, fuck off. It's 10
years ago. Honestly, mate, fuck off. Send. That's it, though. That's it. That's it. You know,
just fuck off me.
I look at Instagram and comments, and we're so lucky to have any following, the people that are interested in what we do, and they're supportive, and, you know, in so many different ways. I know when Portia was just had Roman, and I was spending a lot of time away, and she was had those late nights, and she was finding it really difficult, but she had a network through Instagram of other mums who were going through exactly the same thing, and it's an amazing support group to have. But when it comes to sort of those one-off comments and, oh, I've got a picture up and you know, there's a bit of trolling. It's the same people that otherwise would have written something on the back of a petrol station toilet door. Do you know what I mean? You ain't taking that and reading that verbatim and, you know, putting it on your bedroom ceiling going, that's how I'm going to live by. It's absolute tosh. It's rubbish. So put it in the bin and get on with your day. Don't bother, mate. It doesn't bother me. Write it. I'm not bothered. I'm not even going to give it time of day to repeat it to anyone I care about. I'm going to go, ha, okay, that's then. That's that. That's gone. Back on the toilet.
You're
door.
So BBC all the time. You're like, that's tosh. I'm like, it's fucking bollocks. Tosh. All right, Attenborough.
Okay, that's fucking tosh. Is that better?
Yes! He's so... Such a child.
Oh, my God. When you have a 3.5-year-old and you know that he will pick up any single word, any word, he's just like, everything is literally going in. Yeah. And he might not repeat it immediately, but you know, in a week's time... He's banking it. He's like, I'm going to come out with this. Tosh! Ah, okay. Well, I'm glad I went with Tosh, because if I'd gone for a bag of shit, it would have come back to haunt me. And you don't want a bag of shit haunting you. I'll tell you that right now.
No, babe, it sounds terrible, honestly.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I know that Portia's pregnant at the moment and Roman is still so young, but I have to ask, you know, when it gets to like slightly older teenage years and you're doing your disciplining and she's doing a like casual parent, like nurturing thing.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the one to have the awkward conversations? I want to know who's going to talk to him about like hard-ons and stuff, man.
That'll be me.
Do you have to do it because you have also have a willy?
Because I also
you
have a hard-on. Yeah. Very, said very
willy.
Awkward situations. Gosh, we both got a hard-on. We're going to have this chat, son.
I don't know what to say.
We're going to have the chat now. There are families all up and down the country listening to this going, probably happened. No, I think it's because I've got a big thing about honest discussion at home, and it doesn't always come naturally. I think lockdown was a big thing for this because we found, you know, mate, it was fucking hard. It was really, really hard.
And even without a kid.
Even just, you know, whatever, for every relationship, that is a completely new dynamic that everyone had to figure out just on the go. And some people did not survive it naturally. It was such an impossible thing to have to do. And here we are on the other side being able to talk about it. And, you know, it was all good. But one of the techniques that we just had to realise on the balance was just that, okay, if there is an issue, don't you dare even think about holding that back. Don't.
Yeah.
You have to discuss it. You have to. And you have to just lay it out. You know, Portia and I had a couple of wobbles when we were first seeing each other, and that mainly down to me. And when it came to actually just speaking it out loud, oh my gosh, the relief, the understanding from her perspective, whether or not she did, but she definitely listened, you know. Uh-huh. And it's just been a bit of a mantra for us throughout our 10 years together, is just communication. I'm definitely better at it, or at least I will instigate it first. Portia is, right. She's a bit more stoic. She's so much stronger than me. And I'm like,
this is Erkan.
Right.
So I'm you. I'm like, let's talk about it. Like, let's get this out
there.
Always, yeah, mm-hmm. I want a feeling stick. Like, I am such a hippy dippy when it comes to all that. I love it. I love emoting all over the place.
Yeah.
Just exploding. But Erkan's very much like, I'm a Turkish man, I'm fine. And I'm like, you're fucking not.
But when you break through to him and you do have those, how crucial and how important are they? Because you're able to sort of reset, you know, start on a new slate. And
it is important.
It really, really is. I mean, you're talking about having the awkward conversations at home. I'm sure Portia would, you know, both of us will do, because we love being parents so much. But it's never easy. I can't even imagine what it's going
to
be like.
You've got it all to look forward to.
It really is something we're massively looking forward to. And I just hope I do it well. You know,
it's
one of those things that you can only deal with when it happens. You can't think about it too much. But as he's growing up, and every day, I had a bit of a moment the other day. You know, I'm on tour right now, and Portia's at home, heavily pregnant. You know, 3.5-year-old kicking about.
That must be hard.
And don't get me wrong, this isn't a, you know, woe is me or it's worse for me or anything. It was just, you know, we were talking, and I just had a bit of a breakdown, really, because I was looking. I've got pictures of my boy and the family on my dressing room wall on the mirror there, and I was just talking about how much he'd grown in the 2 months that I've been on tour, and I was just looking at him, and I was just imagining that I've got another few months going to be on the road, and I'm going to miss him growing up and seeing all that time, let alone the new baby when they arrive, and I'll still be on the road. So I was like, gosh, I'm going to really struggle with those. But, you know, we have to manage. Like everybody in every situation that they're in, you've just got to find a way.
I know. And like I'm all for like soldiering on and this stiff upper lip and being very British. The fact of the matter is, babe, like you're allowed to feel your feels. Mm. And fucking, I know how much you love Portia and Roman, and like it can't be easy. So, no, I totally get it. Yeah, man, mate, I cried when I was away from Milo for 5 days.
I know, you did.
Like, I'm such a fanny, Ori. Like, honestly.
No, but that's key when, you know, it's like you said, it's allowed. Whatever makes you feel happy, and to have that removed, it's a really tricky thing. And I think it's just nice to know that person or that thing or that beautiful person or part of your life really matters. How amazing to have that.
Yeah. It's that thing, isn't it? Like, aren't we so fortunate to have people that we miss?
Yeah.
Like, it is lovely. Right, quick question before I end part one.
Hit me.
Do you ever get the flip side of that, though? Do you ever get the, fuck, I'm having a really good time, I love my job, I'm meeting new people, I'm smashing it, and then you go, I've got a family, and I didn't miss them for a moment. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? Because sometimes when I'm having a good time and I haven't thought about Milo or Erkan, I'm like, you cow.
All the time. All the time. I have to...
honesty,
the
yes!
The thing is this tricky. So every morning, so Portia's now doing the school run solo, and every morning at 7:30 or so, whenever it's convenient to her, because it's a really busy time in the morning, you know, forget about Biker Grove, News Round, Bath, Bed. You know, morning is hectic. It's a madness. And so she's doing it on her own. So she'll call me whenever it's convenient, just so that I'm there, so that there's a presence, you know, we don't want my son forgetting what his dad looks like. And we'll have a brief exchange, you know, how was school yesterday, or how was the get up this morning, and what did you have for breakfast, son? And then, you know, it's my turn to go, well, what have you been up to? And I go, well, yeah, it was so-and-so's birthday last night, so, you know, we went out and had a few cocktails. I mean, somebody had apple sours and it got a bit crazy and I came home with a kebab. But
and you can just see her.
I'm not really having fun. So it's such a difficult balance, because you want to be like, oh yeah, no, everything's fine. Are you going back to bed? I'm really hungover. I'm really tired. I'm so sorry. And she must be wanting to bite her tongue all the time. all the time going,
really? I'd just kill you.
Really?
I'd kill you.
This is the family life choices we made. So you, by the way, sure, earning the bread, fine. But you're going and having an absolute merry time getting Larry with your mates. And I'm here with basically two kids, school run, heavily pregnant. Cheers. Appreciate it. It's the tricky one. Don't compare, guys. It's not going to help. Not going to help anyone.
Such a difficult one to navigate. I feel like I'm again the you in this situation and Erkan is the Porsche. And yeah, sometimes I'm like, you've just got to downplay it, or are you like, yeah, it's crappier as well. That's what you've got to say. Next time she's like, what have you been up to? Nothing. Nothing is crap.
Oh, she knows. I'm literally all last seen today on WhatsApp. She's like, what were you doing at 3:30 in the morning? Oh, I can't even lie. I was
staring at your picture, staring at your DP, staring at your profile pic. That's what you need to say.
That's what I'm going to say. Oh my God, where were you at 3:30 in the morning when I needed you?
I was fucking sound asleep, mate. I'm 33. Fuck off. Ori, will you come back in part two?
I think I'm contractually obliged, babe, but because I love you, I will be there.
Yes! We'll see you in part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.